This episode of Finding Fairways is produced by Barney Stone Broadcasting and was previously pre-recorded. Good morning, Michigan golfers. Welcome to Finding Fairways, presented by carlsgolfland.com. On this week's episode, my co-host Don Halinski and I will be speaking to two of Don's friends, Kyle Kelly from the PGA Media Department and Patrick Bloom, an assistant pro at Harding Park, as we continue to look at the first major of the year. No fans, incredible weather, and interesting perspectives on what happened out in San Francisco. So stay tuned here on this station for another episode of Finding Fairways, presented by carlsgolfland.com. Golfers, welcome to Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with Don Halinski, the director of golf at Forest Dunes. Don, there's still a lot of buzz about the first major of the year, the PGA at Harding Park. Just an unbelievably competitive event, first major without fans. There's a lot to talk about. You've got a couple of guests coming on to talk about their experience out there.
Yes, we have a couple people that I know that were out there for the event in different capacities. Patrick Bloom, who's an assistant golf professional at Harding Park and has been there for about 3-4 years now.
Wow.
And then also a friend of mine who works on the digital side with the PGA of America, the organization of all the golf professionals. And he works on some of the social media side, and he had a unique experience of being able to play the course following the event under those championship conditions.
I know you've been so busy at Forest Dunes, you didn't really get the opportunity to watch. I got, on the other hand, gobbled it up. We've talked about it a little bit. Kevin Frisch and I did, and we got the opportunity to talk to Jeff Roth, who was one of the PGA club pros to play in the event. I guess the thing I would ask you, since you didn't see much of the event, is the fallout of Brooks Koepka. I'm sure you know that he ran his buddy Dustin Johnson underneath the bus, then didn't show too well, and now it turns out maybe he's injured again because he's not playing in the FedEx Cup. He's going to wait until the U.S. Open.
Okay, I've been totally out of the loop.
Wow.
With how busy we are. So it's been a crazy summer.
This will make for an interesting conversation. Actually, you know, since you hadn't followed that, and Koepka did say that he'd hurt himself, that's why he played so poorly the last eight. You know, he was right in the mix, two shots behind going into the last eight at Harding Park. And most pundits thought that he would win. And he played very poorly. And now it turns out that they haven't specified what the injury is. You know, he was hurt last year, played very sparingly, hadn't played that well. So the next time he tees it up, it'll be at Winged Foot. There's a couple of stories out right now about how great a shape Winged Foot is in. And JT and Tiger played it twice after they left Harding Park to come in, and they're starting the FedEx Cup now at TPC of Boston. Looks like we'll have a great U.S. Open.
Yeah, and it's always great to see some of the big names like Tiger in that back. Even just being in the field, what that does for the game of golf, I want to see. I mean, Tiger made golf cool again at one point, and there's a younger generation that of the kids right now that their Tiger, who was Tiger Woods for me, is more the Ricky Fowlers and the
right.
Justin Thomas and those types of folks. So, but I know a lot of us in that 40 to 45 year old age bracket, look at Tiger as Messiah. And
well, the latest story out of Winged Foot, which is a month from now, is that New York State thinks they can put fans on the course.
Well, and that'll be really interesting to see how that has a great effect. I mean, We've all been to sporting events, and they talk about momentum and things like that, and how the crowd feeds off that. As athletes, as a performer, you feed off the crowd, and to hit a shot and not have any applause, but maybe a high five from your caddy or a ooh or an ah from somebody standing by, versus you're coming up one of the holes and you hear a roar from one of the other holes as a competitor, you wonder, well, what's that? Who's making a charge?
Right.
How close are they getting? You know, how much of a lead do I have, not knowing that? So if they could have fans, that would be something else.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good step forward, although we're going to have a conversation with Pat and Kyle, the two gentlemen that were out at Harding Park, about the effect of not having fans. So we'll get a on-course perspective when we return here on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. All right, it's time to check in with our good friends at carlsgolfland.com. Tim Coyle on the phone with me. Tim, big news. You got a flash sale going this weekend. That's pretty exciting stuff, especially if you like Oakley apparel.
We just started a flash sale. Yes, it's a lot of categories, shoes, apparel, a lot of top names. Yeah, Oakley for one. We just got a huge shipment of new Oakley apparel in for the flash sale. A lot of great stuff there, men's and ladies as well. The hot sellers so far, the Travis Matthew apparel as well. You have select items up to 50% off, and they've been rocking and rolling this year. So it's we're busy over here.
Travis Matthew, probably the biggest new name in golf apparel. You see a lot of tour pros wearing that stuff, and they have a ton of different styles.
Yeah, the styles are really nice. They're refreshing, I guess is one word for it. Very they kind of speak to some of the more youthful golfers, and the stuff's really cool. It's really comfortable. Fits as good as anything else that you have out there. And, yeah, we've really seen the business from them explode over the last year or so.
Yeah, I can like I said, I know Bubba Watson wears them. And on top of that, you can wear it. It's nice enough, stylish enough to wear it out. It doesn't have to be on the golf course. Business casual, Travis Matthews written all over it.
Yeah, it's perfect for both, absolutely.
And then you got Women's Golf Day coming up. Tell our lady listeners what they can find at Carl's Golfland on September 1st.
September 1st, Ladies Golf, Women's International Women's Golf Day, really. We've been proud to support this awesome event the last several years at our Bloomfield Hills location. It's a little bit different this year just because of everything kind of going on in the world, but we still wanted to celebrate all the ladies out there that golf. So we're going to be doing free range balls at both of our store locations all day on September 1st. So if you're in the area, come by and you'll hit a bucket on us.
So very important for you to get to carlsgolfland.com, the brand new website, this weekend, and take advantage of those closeouts, especially on the Oakley and Travis Matthew. Tim, thanks for joining us, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you, Jerry. Can't wait.
Welcome back to Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne and Don Holinsky from Forest Dunes in studio. And we've got a Lansing native, Patrick Bloom, who now works as an assistant pro at Harding Park, joining us on the phone. Patrick, it just had to be an amazing set of circumstances 2 weeks ago at Harding Park in San Francisco.
Yeah, you know, it was certainly a very fun week for us. I thought the golf course showed super well on the broadcast. I think it was awesome that the players got a pretty good taste of all the weather Harding has to offer, with some, you know, some awesome sunshine, some wind, and then some fog on a few of those cool mornings. But yeah, absolute blast having all those guys and watching them play a golf course that a lot of us we get out and play pretty often. So,
when did Harding Park shut down to public play?
I think the last day we were open was July 17th.
Okay.
And then the team had a few weeks to get it, you know, kind of finally prepped for the event. And then we reopened the Tuesday following, so August 11th, and we're just right back at it.
How much work? I know it's been a work in process for a number of years. A lot of people heard the story about Sandy Tatum and reviving the golf course, and it's hosted a number of big events, but for the PGA, was there a lot of work put into it, or was it just growing rough and narrowing fairways?
Yeah, so I mean, from a golf course standpoint, they certainly did some work, like you said, narrowing fairways, getting that rough just super thick and long. But they also added 5 different tee boxes out there.
Right.
And were able to, I think stretch the golf course to close to 7,300 at its full length. And then they also did some other small things. They shaved down around some of the bunkers so balls would end up rolling either into them or back into them from the greens. But is basically the same as it was a couple of years ago, aside from some hallways for fairways out there and some super super thick rough.
Patrick, this is Don. How worried were you guys that you weren't going to able to host the event? It was obviously scheduled for earlier in the year and was postponed. And what was the thought process like that amongst the staff members?
Well, I think for a few weeks there, I mean, maybe a couple of months, we were all pretty worried it just wasn't going to happen. I mean, everyone around the country was, you know, experienced. They'd never dealt with either, but it was a pretty deflating feeling, I think, for a lot of us, especially even personally. I had moved out here from Michigan and had been really looking forward to being a part of the event. Just to have it potentially, you know, pulled out of our hands like that, out of anybody's control, was certainly kind of a scary feeling. Just so thrilled that it actually ended up going off, even in the, you know, kind of sort of limited capacity in which it did. It was certainly, we're all very, very grateful that we were able to be a part of it and experience what was a pretty wild week.
What was the pulse of the public of the area, you know, hoping to be able to see all these professional golfers and then not have that opportunity? And then also from your perspective, what was it like to be at a major golf championship and not have any fans there?
Yeah, so I think a lot of the public, I mean, we were getting phone calls all the time. Is it going to happen? You know,
sure.
Is the event still going on? I have tickets. Am I still going to be able to, you know, be able to come out and watch? A lot of that, it was out of our hands. It was out of everybody's hands for a while there. Everyone, I think, was just very hopeful that it was still going to go on. I mean, obviously, it eventually did, and I think everyone was, you know, pretty excited about that. But it was pretty unique because we actually ended up being open the week of what the PGA Championship was supposed to be. So there were some people out there, and we were saying, hey, good luck. It's May 17th, Sunday of the what was supposed to be the PGA Championship. So good luck out there today, guys. And so I think some of the public really enjoyed that aspect of it. Talking about the actual week and what it was like, I think our head professional kind of said it best when he was talking to one of his friends. It almost kind of had a college feel, like a college tournament, except for instead of you know, Texas and Alabama, you have Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods walking around. It was pretty bizarre seeing some of these guys hit just absolutely incredible shots and there being just no applause, absolutely zero cheers out there. I was in the locker room for the week, but I could sneak out of the locker room and just kind of peek down number 15, and I saw Justin Thomas hit a fairway bunker shot from 160 yards away to about 2 inches, and there were just crickets. And it was pretty remarkable watching someone hit a shot like that, having there be, you know, effectively no reaction except for Tiger Woods, who he was playing with, kind of tipping his cap to him. So it was very bizarre just how quiet it was out there, given the gravity of what all these guys were actually playing.
The one of the things, I don't know if you'd noticed it, Don, but it certainly was apparent to me that especially the greenside bunkers gave the tour players a lot of problems. Even the best in the world, the Jason Days and the Phil Mickelsons, could not get the ball close. I think even Justin Thomas was 1 for 6 getting up and down out of bunkers. Is that just a makeup of the sand that I've, like I mentioned to you off air, Patrick, I've played the Harding Park a lot in the sand because of the moisture in the air and everything else. Those bunkers played very differently, and it looked like the PGA Tour players never could really figure that out.
Yeah, I think a lot of them struggle with the fact that that the bunkers are pretty firm out there. I mean, you really have to attack the ball and try and pick it clean. But it was certainly interesting watching guys struggle coming out of a bunker, which is, you know, supposed to be a hazard technically.
It was for a change.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, Harding usually has local residents play a lot.
Right.
So I think there was probably a lot of people sitting at home on their couches kind of laughing and saying, I've done that before. I know the feeling, so I've been in that bunker and hit it 30 feet past the pin. The bunkers always play firm. They're always difficult to get out of. So it was certainly kind of fun watching the guys struggle with that as well. It makes them look like maybe they're at least a little bit human.
You were in the locker room. Should I ask you about tips?
we're a no tipping facility.
Okay,
you know that, Mr. Coyne. Yeah, public golf.
Well, I saw a friend of ours played in the event, Jeff Roth, and I saw how they modified the locker room, and they had standalone lockers in each one of them. It was kind of really cool, interesting setup I've never seen before in the locker room, and I'm sure you had a chance to interact with a lot of the tour players.
Yeah, it was certainly personally a really, really fun experience for me. Seen a lot of the guys that I've watched play for my entire adult life, all the way down until when I was a kid. But it was a very unique setup from a locker room standpoint. They used what was supposed to be the merchandise tent for the PGA Championship. That structure had already been built when the dates were actually changed. So they had what was supposed to be a 60,000 square foot merchandise tent, which they turned into the player locker room and the caddy services area. So a lot of the guys, they were chuckling. I think Davis Love walked up to his locker and he goes, "Man, I even got a desk this week. How about this?" Because everyone had a little table right next to their locker.
Right.
So I think they all got a kick out of it and enjoyed maintained social distance if they wanted to and went it too. So.
Well, Pat, thanks for taking a little time out with us today and joining us from Harding Park. I'm jealous of you. As I mentioned to you off the air, I lived there for a long time. It's the most beautiful city in the United States. So I'm sure Harding Park will be back on the map for a major real soon.
Yeah, hopefully so. But, maybe when things calm down a little bit more, come out and see us here. It's, like I said, public golf course. So grab some friends and come out and play. We'd be happy to have you.
What's the daily rate right now?
Well, it's all based upon residency. Local residents pay between 60 and 80 weekend versus weekday. If you're coming in from out of town, between 175 and 200.
Wow.
So still, compared to some of the golf courses down the coast in Monterey, very reasonable pricing. I don't want to feel like I'm reading off a marketing script right now, but definitely if you're ever out here, it's certainly worth a trip around. It's a really, really easy walk. Trees are gorgeous. Coming from a Michigan guy, I can attest to what you said there. This is just a beautiful city, beautiful part of the country. So,
yeah, and as you said, it showed well on TV. Pat, thanks for joining us on Finding Fairways.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Don, hopefully we see you soon.
All right, sounds good.
We'll be back after these messages from our fine partners on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com, Jerry Coyne and Don Helinski from Forest Dunes in studio here. And on the phone with us is
Kyle Kelly.
Kyle Kelly, an old buddy of Don's from Central Michigan and now a freelance media guy.
Yeah, tell us what you do, Kyle, with the PGA organization.
Yeah, so I'm the digital content manager currently for the PGA of America on the association side. All that entails is running the digital strategy for our website and all of our social platforms, content curation. But ultimately, our goal is to highlight the member and the PGA coaches that are doing such a tremendous job, helping grow the game across the country.
And the unique thing is they run and host the PGA Championship, which gives golf professionals a chance to qualify for a PGA Tour event. And you were on hand working the event. What was your reaction to what you were able to experience out there at Harding Park a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, it was absolutely tremendous. First and foremost, you touched on the professionals and the opportunity to play. The Team of 20 is just such a unique experience, and we feel it really sets us apart as a major. And to get to know some of those guys out there and hear their stories of, you know, what they're doing day to day to teach individuals and have full-time jobs and then excel at such a high level and play pretty well. But, you know, it's very unique. No fans creates an interesting atmosphere. And but the guys showed up and the players showed up, and it was still had just such an amazing feel to it. TPC Harding Park and the city of San Francisco and the county of San Francisco, they were just tremendous holes. And the course set up really well for an amazing finish, as we all saw with Colin Morikawa coming through on Sunday. And it just, despite the fact that what a lot of people thought would be kind of a low energy event with no fans, it just wasn't the case. Having the ability to walk the grounds, there's just an essence about that place that was really, really unique and really interesting and exciting the whole 4 days.
I don't know if you had anything to do with it, but I had to tip my cap to the PGA. I love that Team of 20 concept. That was the first year they kind of rolled that out. And the Justin Thomas ad and the Jack Nicklaus ad, I thought were just great support for the club pros. So whoever came up with that promotion did a great job.
Yeah, our broadcast team is tremendous, and obviously on the digital side, we play a role in that, in helping spread that message. We have great advocates of the Team in 20, and Justin Thomas, obviously his dad, Mike,
right,
is a lifelong PGA professional, and so is his grandfather. So the legacy that Justin provides to our association is amazing, and Jack has been a tremendous partner with us for many, many years, both on that side of things and having a PGA coach in himself, and Jack Grout, and then he's a huge, huge advocate and supporter of the Senior PGA Championship and all the things that they've been able to do in Michigan down in Benton Harbor.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, two amazing allies of the Team of 20. It was really cool to work with them.
The real reason we want to talk to you, though, is you had a great experience that not many casual golfers have the chance to do, and that is play a course – basically under major championship conditions. And the day after the conclusion, it was Monday, correct, that you were able to play the course. Tell us about that experience and what that was like.
I mean, what an amazing opportunity, first and foremost. As like a guy who grew up in northern Michigan and had the opportunity, I think, to play some pretty amazing courses, to step foot on the grounds and kind of just walk the same walk that Tiger walked on Sunday and that Colin walked on Sunday, it was a really cool feel. But then you also really, it puts into perspective just how truly great these players are and the conditions that they face that they make look easy. A lot of people saw, unfortunately and fortunately for my role as, you know, trying to find good content, saw me hacking it up in the rough and make it a pretty poor attempt at it. But it more than anything, you just can't help but enjoy yourself and being out there regardless of what the conditions are, because it's just such a cool feeling, you know. TPC Harding Park is tough. And,
yeah,
and that's one of the cool and most unique pieces about it, is it being a municipal course. And that's something that the public doesn't play it at the same conditions, but they get to play the same kind of setup throughout the year.
Yeah, so did you play the tips?
So we played a combo, because when we played it on Monday, they were doing a lot of moving of things from the television broadcast off the ground. So they had to keep some lanes open for the trucks to get in and out. So we didn't quite tip it out, but it was it plays pretty long, and it doesn't matter. You know, I had an amazing shot on 15. Probably one of the best golf shots I could hit, and it bounced 1 yard into the rough, and we couldn't find my ball. And, you know, without it, when you don't have a caddy and you don't have spotters,
right,
and you don't have volunteers on the course, you can be penalized for a good shot. So still cool nonetheless. It's something that I'll definitely remember for a lifetime.
And one of the cool things you mentioned that that the listeners may not understand what you're talking about is there was a video of you taking a shot out of the rough that kind of went viral, and people were able to see that and some of the comments and things like that that were made. Was your phone blowing up after that got released, especially by Golf Magazine's Twitter feed?
Yeah, it was funny. I was, I received a bunch of messages after the fact, and it was all in fun. You know, I've never played rough like that in my life. A lot different, just thick, and didn't have any idea getting out of it. And I had had a couple of shots like that before, and my boss finally said, like, hey, let's record this next one. I want you to try to get home. And I was like, I can't get home from here, but sure, I'll give it a go. And he put it up, and it immediately kind of took off online, and golf.com picked it up a couple of days later. And the funny thing was I was getting messages from people and seeing it on community boards on Facebook and Twitter, and the messages to me like, hey, that guy looks a lot like is wearing the same thing you were wearing in your Instagram stories. And I was like, yeah, that guy is me. So it was all in fun. I don't mind, the internet experts telling me what's wrong with my swing. I know I'm a high handicap golfer that just loves the game and is always trying to improve. So feel free to give me all the tips that you need.
What were the greens like?
No. What was the number? I want the number right now.
So the running bet all week was that I wouldn't break 120.
Oh.
Sadly, I went out. Yeah. Yeah, that was the running bet.
Ooh.
In the conditions.
Okay.
I didn't break 120. We went out in 62 on the front. It was pretty rough. And we recovered on the back, and I finished 112.
That's not bad.
I wanted to redeem myself the next day. Yeah, 112, it was all right. For let's say I'm a 17 handicap, it was it wasn't a bad day. It was, but conditions like I've never played before. I could use some coaching from one of our PGA coaches, that's for sure.
Okay, so you gave both the context because, of course, you know, when I've been in that situation, the first thing, can you break 100? That's the number. I remember reading a story that Ray Romano played Augusta a number of years ago now, the day after, and he says he shot 96. I don't believe him. But that's good. I think I think 112. You beat your benchmark. I think that's good.
Yeah, I built myself a little clout, and it continued. In the next day, we got to play Pocatiempo in Santa Cruz,
ooh,
and I broke 100 there from the tips.
Wow, good for you.
I improved. You know, hopefully I can bring it together.
You play
Pocatiempo,
Don,
and play it with the buddies.
Pocatiempo is no joke. I mean, it's a very fine golf course, and Alistair McKenzie breaking 100 there is notable, especially from the tips. Although Pocatiempo is not that long period. I know Don's played there. Did you break 100 at Pocatiempo, Don?
I don't remember, but that was in December after not playing for two months plus. So
I'm sorry.
I gotta give myself a little credit. I haven't played consistent golf for 7 years, so don't. I need the world not to rag on me too, man.
Well, we know you're headed up here, Kyle, and on a guy's golf trip to play Forest Dunes real soon. So we'll make sure that Don gets some of the assistance out there and works on your game.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. I can take all the help I can get.
Well, thank Kyle. Kyle Kelly, thanks for joining us here on Finding Fairways. And I'm sure the return home and the home cooking at Forest Dunes, we look forward to having you break maybe 85 on one of the loop courses. What do you think, Don?
Oh, I think that's in his cards. He's been playing a lot lately. So.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's always great to be back in Michigan. I appreciate you guys having me on. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks for taking the time out for joining us on Finding Fairways. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. We'll be right back. Always brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with Don Helinski from Forest Dunes. Don, thanks for wrangling up those guys. Something that never happens again, a PGA tournament without fans, played out of schedule. This is, the PGA was supposed to be the first major of the year. It still was the first major of the year. But the, you know, the funny thing that I kept hearing on the broadcast was it had been a whole year without a major. And now, and they were saying, well, we're going to have seven majors in the next 14 months. So talking about compressing the schedule and then flipping it around the next year and then throwing a Ryder Cup in there, there's going to be a lot of competitive golf.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy when you stop to think about it for a second. And obviously, that event wasn't able to have fans. But we all know that a lot of these guys really gear up for the major. And it's not just an ordinary date on their event calendar. You know, they're preparing for it, maybe taking a tournament off or two to get some rest, fine-tune some things as they lead up to it. And we'll see how that affects them as well, trying to cram that many, quote, majors and that much extra energy and focus onto that many events in such a small time window.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. They're even doing it now. They've got the FedEx Cup playoffs going right now. They go right into the U.S. Open. They were going to have the Ryder Cup right after that, and at least they moved the Ryder Cup out. You know, watching the tournament at Harding Park without fans and then right after it, Bandon Dunes hosted the U.S. Amateur. I know you're a big fan of that course. A lot of people compare Forest Dunes and Bandon Dunes. So it got me thinking, you know, without fans, you could host a pretty big event. I think of Forest Dunes and the Loop could host a U.S. Am. How do you think it would hold up? It had to have crossed your mind and Lou's mind, like, wow, you know, that would be pretty cool to do someday.
We've had people going back to when the Buick Open was down at Warwick Hills, and there were people that 10 years ago would say, you know, if there was ever something that happened and a tornado came through and wiped out the Buick Open and they had all these golfers here, they could go up and host it at Forest Dunes on any given day. And that was one thing that we've always prided ourselves on, is the great conditioning of the course, the challenge of the course, and that it was a course that was worthy of hosting an event. I mean, Harding Park is a city-owned course.
Right.
You know, Patrick, one of the funny stories from Patrick when he first moved out there is he was so mad about a water fountain in the clubhouse that couldn't get fixed for like a month because it was a union thing and part of the city and you had to put in all this paperwork. Yeah, and so to see Bandon Dunes, and I think with that, especially the link style as it kind of relates to the Loop is, but, you know, there is quality golf experiences just like that we see on TV right here in Northern Michigan.
Yeah, well, they're right next to each other's name on the list. When you look at the courses that you can play on Golf Digest and Golf Magazine, you know, the Bandon Dunes, a couple of the Bandon Dunes courses are standing right along the Forest Dunes course and the Loop course. So there is, in the minds of the folks that rate those courses, there's not a hell of a lot of a difference between playing the Dunes and the Loop and playing the courses out of Bandon Dunes, which I've had the opportunity to, and there are a lot of similarities. Speaking of Forest Dunes, and you mentioned in our first segment, you've been so damn busy you can't even watch the PGA on TV. Obviously, things are going well.
Oh, absolutely. Just when we think we couldn't get any busier, we've gotten busier and busier. You know, August and September are always our two busiest months of the year.
Right.
And that's on steroids this year. You know, we've had everybody trying to get out for their rounds. And I think typically what it's always been is you're always wondering if this is going to be your last shot of the year to get a good round in because of the weather and things like that and the opportunities.
Well, on top of that, the weather has been amazing.
Been unreal.
Yeah,
I mean everything has just been picture perfect for the golf industry in all across Michigan, but Northern Michigan in particular, all of us resorts with multiple courses and lodging that we've had to fill, and hopefully it continues. All of us,
both you and I's favorite time of year to play is golf in Northern Michigan is the fall. We have a couple of great events that you host at Forest Dunes. Those are still scheduled, planned to go ahead, right?
Absolutely. And the unique thing this year is that the two events are the Fall Classic and the Bockwurst. These are four-person scrambles on the first two Saturdays in October.
Right.
And typically those are under aerified conditions. Because of our schedule change and revenue potential we lost early in the season, we decided not to shut down for aerification at the end of September. We are going to close earlier and push the aerify process until after the season is over. So we're going to have a pure golf experience till our closing day on October 11th. So.
Well, both of those events are a blast. I've played in both of them. They're probably at least half sold out, if not the Bockwurst. Is usually sells out pretty early. Are there any spots?
There are spots available. They are getting close to being full. I think there's single-digit amount of teams left for the Fall Classic in Bockwurst, maybe 10. So,
yeah, folks, if you've got three other guys or a mixed team to play in something, the camaraderie is amazing. The golf is beautiful. And, of course, the hospitality doesn't stink either, Don. Other than that, lodging... Where do you stand? Can people still get rooms?
It's tight for the weekends. A smaller group of only four or maybe a couple's getaway, we definitely probably have some opportunities. But if you're talking a group of 12 or 16, any of these weekends
midweek
left, because that includes those tournament weekends that are very popular.
Well, it's all available. All you got to do is go to forestdunesgolf.com, find the tee sheet, the lodging, all the information. And if you have any questions, you got a great staff available by phone.
Yes, give us a call, 989-275-0700. The Fall Classic and the Bockwurst are four-person scrambles. $125 per player. Get you 18 holes with cart, lunch, dinner, a Forest Dunes mug, couple pours of beer, and the opportunity to win prizes and hang out with a bunch of your closest friends.
That's right. It's a great, great time. Don Holinsky from Forest Dunes, thanks for joining us on Finding Fairways. As we like to say, find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. We'll be back here next week. And thanks to carlsgolfland.com for hosting. All right, it's time to check in with our good friends at Boeing Golf. I've got Ken Griffin on the phone line with us. Ken, I hate to beat a dead horse, but how much better can the weather be for golf?
You know, it's just great to see golfers out enjoying our 10 courses every day. You know, you're right. Mother Nature's been very kind to us, and the forecast continues to look good.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, 80s into next week at least. We've got to get the people, especially the ones listening downstate who haven't made their golf trips yet, to go to BoeingGolf.com and look up all the great packages you've got going on.
You can look on BoeingGolf.com, check on your social media of choice, but we've got some great stay-and-plays and unlimited golf for late summer or fall golf. You know, we've got a two-night, four-round package from $259 or a three-day unlimited golf package for just over $500.
Yeah, especially, I know, like you said last week, we're not light until 10 o'clock, but it's still light till 9. If you're ambitious, you can get a heck of a lot of golf in, get that first tee time off in the morning at 7:30. You can play 54 no problem.
Right. Well, we've had some availability. You know, we had a lot of Canadians still hanging on to their reservations, trying to get over since they haven't gotten to our courses. But, you know, with the closure extending through the 21st, probably means we're not going to see our Canadian friends this summer, but that does open up some lodging and tee times that are being held for them for fall stay and plays and unlimited golf packages.
And you still have the Boeing Golf Academy. Ken, one quick question. I know a lot of people near this time of the year start thinking about what their game was like and getting fit for new equipment, and nobody does that better than Boeing.
No. The Technology Center and the guys at the Boeing Golf Academy, whether it's instruction, you know, with Joe Charles and his staff, or, you know, through the use of gears and TrackMan in the fitting center. And I know Dave McWhorter, our master club fitter, I talked to him this week, and he has just he's booked solid for the next couple of weeks. So, I mean, you got to work. He's got, he's got a schedule there you can look at and try and get some times in. But we're very busy teaching and fitting people with new equipment.
That's right. And they go hand in hand. Once you get that swing where you want it, maybe those clubs that are 5 or 6 years old, time to upgrade them. But as we keep saying here each and every weekend, the best golf website in the country is BoeingGolf.com. You've got to check out the teaching and the playing and the equipment. Ken, do we get it all?
I think we got it all. Thanks, Jerry, and look forward to seeing you on the course.
We will see you on the fairways sometime next week at Boeing.